I wanted to start off this morning with one announcement. As I think many of us have probably known, we've got different ones in the body that have not been feeling well. And so one thing I want to encourage us to be praying for one another. Look for opportunities to encourage one another through these things. We know that God's sovereign in all of this, but these are opportunities to get to encourage one another, get to build one another up in our walk with the Lord. And as a part of that, we actually don't have an 8 to 12 class this service. So if you have an 8 to 12-year-old in your family, get comfortable. You're going to be staying with us. So it's an opportunity the Lord gives us as a family to get to be together a little bit more today. So there's still a 4 to 7-year-old class, though. So sigh of relief if you got a little one. They're still going to class. They'll dismiss Mr. Sonny at the normal time, but 8 to 12 class, it would normally be with Pastor Josh. You're going to stay in with us today. If you could open up your Bible with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. For those of you that were with us in the first service at Offertory, I shared with us kind of the heart that God had put in me as he rescued me and the burdens that he had given me as a pastor for this body. And as he has so given me a ministry with the teachers in our body and the children and the different studies. And just to sum it up, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 2, that our desire is that we would not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God and his Spirit. And as I thought more about this as well, in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's a couple of things that have always meant a lot to me, and I really think it's something that we desire to encourage through the teaching that we have in this body and continue to do so. And the first point, if you look with me at the very beginning of 2 Peter 1, says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that word, same kind that you see, would also reference equal value. And we have a tendency, as we talked about in Corinthians, that we can put certain people or their walk with the Lord on a pedestal. And this would be Peter. And you go, well, Peter was literally walking with Christ. I mean, at one point, he takes a step on the water with him. And you go, wow, Peter must have this much greater opportunity for a relationship with his Savior than we do. It's not true. Now, what he says is he uses the word bondservant, which would be those that have really laid aside any will of their own in their life and submitted fully to Christ, that they want his will to be done. So if that's the desire of your heart, you've got an opportunity for the same relationship with our Savior as somebody like Peter would, as any of us would. And so that's the first point. The second, as you begin to go down, and we come to a point, and maybe you've been at this place, maybe you know somebody that's been in this place, that we can have a tendency sometimes to, we make a decision, we receive Christ, and then we think that it's all done. It's over. I prayed, I talked to the Lord, I said all the right things, I meant it, now I'm done. But that's never what God's intended for us. And I've used this analogy and this joke before, but there's these things called hills in these far-off lands. We don't really have them. And there's even some, I hear, there are mountains that are even bigger. Here in Florida, it's just kind of flat. But I do hear legends of these things. And I hear that if you try to go up on one of those and you start up the mountain and you were to let off your gas pedal, believe it or not, you go backwards. You imagine that? You actually would go back down the hill. You don't just stay there, right? If you just let off the gas, you just start going backwards. To me, that's a picture of what happens. We receive Christ, and we stop striving after being closer to him. That we try to sit there and just sit in neutral in our faith. You know what happens? We begin to go backwards. And as we look in this text, it tells us that we're not lacking in any opportunity or any equipping to be close to the Lord, because it tells us in verse 2 that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. And I just want to insert, there's a phrase that you'll see in this text, true knowledge. It's the same word here in verse 2. You can really kind of insert the word true, which would be the word not gnosis that we would see for just knowledge, but epignosis, which would be a participatory or an experiential knowledge. basically you begin to experience these things as you're actually walking with them, as you're actually living these things out. It's not just up here. It's as you begin to actually walk with him. And it tells us in verse 3, seeing his divine power is granted to us most things pertaining to life and godliness. Does yours say that? Or does it say another word? Everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge, there's the word, of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He's granted to us these precious and magnificent promises so that you may, by them, become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. The old new things have come. Verse 5, but for this very reason also, what do? We apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence, your moral excellence, knowledge, your knowledge, self-control, your self-control, perseverance, your perseverance, godliness, your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Well, that sounds like we're continuing to grow in that relationship with him, that we're striving. He uses the word diligence. There's an effort within that word when you begin to dig into it, that he's rescued us, he's made us a new creation, so we would partake of those promises and continue to want to be closer to him, to want to grow in this relationship with the Lord, not to be stagnant, not to stay in neutral. He says, if these qualities are yours and increasing, and I would say as a pastor and as teachers in this body, this is our desire for you. This is why we encourage you in these things, to not grow stagnant. It's the reason we have different studies available, why we have different times that we make available to come together as a body. And as Pastor Greg shared about discipleship, meeting one-on-one with different ones to want to walk through these things together is because we want, as verse 8 says, that these qualities are yours. And what's that next word? Increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us the opposite of this in verse 9. If you lack these qualities, you're blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from your former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you, what? Practice these things, you will never stumble. He'll use another phrase as you go down, and you tell me if you see the repetition. He says in verse 12, I'll always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. You go down to verse 15, also be diligent at the time after my departure, and you'll be able to call these things to mind. Why are there things that we continue to reiterate, that we continue to talk about in this relationship with Christ? Because there's some things worth repeating, isn't it? Amen. There's some things worth not forgetting. And as Peter says, look, as long as God has us here in this earthly dwelling, a desire is to stir you up at these things by way of reminder. That's the desire that we have within this body, that you would never begin to feel like we should get stagnant or get in neutral in our faith, that we should continue to strive after wanting to be closer with our Savior. Scripture's telling us he's poured all these promises out. The moment you receive Christ, they're yes. But do we have the fullness of that walk with him? Or are there things that if we begin to back off, do we begin to miss those blessings? Do we begin to miss that closeness? 1 John would tell us there's a way to even lack confidence in our relationship with him, in our salvation, if we allow certain things to begin to come in. So it's my hope that you'll continue to be reminded, and I trust the Lord will, through the teaching, through the fellowship that we have as a body, that God's not intended for us to get stagnant in these things. We want to keep growing closer to him until the day he takes us home. Amen. And I look forward to that day, don't you?
Yes.
We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, you rescued us, and you didn't just rescue us and then leave us. You tell us in the Gospel of John that you've given us this wonderful gift of your Spirit, that he would begin to live within us, and we would be reminded of the things that are in your word, and we would begin to be led and strengthened through your power. Lord, may we continue to want to be closer to you. We want to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that you've called us. May we desire in our hearts to keep striving after your standard. And Lord, we know that you're faithful to give us the strength, to give us the endurance. If we would so desire and begin to take those steps to pursue you today, Lord, there's nothing that you'll withhold from us. Lord, we give you praise and thanks today for who you are and that your promises are always true. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.